You know, when I was in college, a Bible study leader had taught us that each one of us should have a Paul in our lives, somebody that we were learning from, somebody who was pouring their lives into us. And he also taught me that we should all have a Timothy, right? Somebody that we are teaching and pouring ourselves into. It was a great and it was a powerful lesson, but I think it falls a little bit short. I think we each one of us also need a Jonathan in our lives. Now let me explain what I'm talking about. In our world today, we live in a culture where independence is idolized, in a sense. Right? The message we hear from our world today will say things like, be strong on your own, don't rely on anybody, you don't need anyone else to succeed. But beneath that, the surface of that cultural message is a great lie and a great danger. Because the truth is that we were never meant to live alone. Now, I would guess that well over 90% of us have a cell phone here, if not in this not in our room today, have a cell phone somewhere. We have more contact today than at any other time in history. Facebook, and Instagram, TikTok. And yet loneliness has quietly become one of the most urgent problems of our day. Studies have shown that despite people being more digitally connected than ever, genuine, life-giving, life-altering friendships are becoming increasingly rare. That mental health professionals have gone so far as to say that that loneliness is a public health crisis of today. From the very beginning of the Bible, in Genesis chapter 2:18, God says, it is not good for man to be alone. Ever since then, God has been forming people into a covenant community. And it's exactly what the church is. It is a gathering of God's people who are meant to walk life together, bound by the love of Christ. And in 1 Samuel chapter 20, we're given one of the most powerful examples of a godly friendship in all of Scripture, the relationship between David and Jonathan. Their story teaches us that truly life is better together, especially when our relationships are grounded in love and truth and covenantal faithfulness. So here's truth number one today, that God has designed us for relationships. So after David defeats Goliath, his relationship with King Saul went south. People were continuing to cheer for King Saul, right? They were still happy with King Saul, but they would cheer even louder for David. 1 Samuel 18:7 says, as the people sang, Saul has killed his thousands and David his tens of thousands. And so the king was not happy. And David was on the run. Saul is filled with jealousy and rage, and even though David had been loyal to him, Saul wants him dead because he sees him as a threat to his throne. So David finds himself in a crisis, but in that crisis, God provides something incredibly powerful, a friend who will walk beside him. Jonathan, who is Saul's own son, chooses David over the security of his father's house. Right? Jonathan knew that David was meant to be king and not him. Right? This is the heir apparent recognizing that someone else was chosen by God to be king. And in verses 1 to 17 of chapter 20, we read about the covenant that they make. There's a lot of scripture there, so I'm going to key in on verse 16 and 17. It says, so Jonathan made a solemn pact with David, saying, may the Lord destroy all of your enemies. And Jonathan made David reaffirm his vow of friendship again, for Jonathan loved David as he loved himself. This friendship that they had wasn't casual. It wasn't built on convenience. It was grounded in a covenant before God. And we need to we need to recover this sense of spiritual friendships again. In the Wesleyan tradition, right, in the Methodist tradition, this truth has been deeply ingrained in our history. John Wesley didn't try to make disciples in isolation. He gathered people into class meetings, into bands and societies, because he knew that real spiritual growth occurs best when we are in relationship with one another. Today, we might call them small groups or Sunday school classes. To Wesley, right, the Christian life was not a solo venture. He once said that the gospel of Christ knows no religion but social, no holiness but social holiness. In other words, we are formed in Christ as we walk with others in grace and truth. David and Jonathan just didn't enjoy each other's company. They helped each other follow God's call on their lives. Their friendship was a means of grace. It encouraged faith, it provided strength, and it gave us a glimpse of God's faithful love. Now, who is it in your life that walks with you like that? Who knows what you are going through spiritually and emotionally? Who is the one that holds you up when you are knocked down? Right? Find your Jonathan. Truth number two is that covenant friendship reflects God's faithfulness. In verses 12 to 23, Jonathan and David, they map out a plan. David's going to hide in a field, and Jonathan is going to speak with his dad, King Saul, to find out where he stands. And then through a prearranged system of arrows, Jonathan would let David know if it was okay to return or if he needed to run. But woven into this plan is something much deeper than mere survival. Jonathan says in verse 14, and may you treat me with the faithful love of the Lord as long as I live. But if I die, treat my family with faithful love. Right, and this time, right, if David would become king, it would be natural for David, it would be accepted in that time frame to kill every living heir of King Saul. And Jonathan is saying, remember me, David, when you become king, remember this covenant that we made. In fact, that word that is translated in the New Living as faithful love is the word hesed, and it's a word that means loyal love, steadfast devotion, and covenantal mercy. It's the same word that is used to describe God's faithfulness to his people. Jonathan and David are mirroring the faithfulness of God in their relationship. What Jonathan is saying is, let's love each other the way that God loves us. Right? This is the essence of covenant friendship. Two people reflecting the nature of God and how they care for one another. Because I think if we're honest, far too many of our relationships today are shallow and transactional or based upon what someone can do for us. But covenant friendship isn't about getting, it is about giving. It is about showing up. It's about faithfulness. It's the kind of friendship that Wesley taught about, as the Wesleyan tradition aims to cultivate through accountable discipleship. In Wesley's band meetings, people would gather together weekly and answer questions like this: how is it with your soul? What temptations have you faced? How have you experienced God's grace? Can you imagine how our churches would be if we recovered this kind of honest, loving relationship? Of brothers and sisters in Christ coming together to help each other live out God's call together. It takes us to truth number three, and that is God's presence is often experienced through his people. And so in this next portion of chapter 20, Saul's anger towards David is confirmed. And during the new moon feast, David's absence brings about some suspicion. And on the second day, when Jonathan explains that David is away, Saul explodes with rage, even throwing a spear at his own son in anger. Jonathan leaves the feast heartbroken, not only because of his father's sin, but because of what it means for David. He goes to the field. He shoots the arrows as planned, signaling to David that it is no longer safe in the house of Saul. And it's at this moment in heartbreak and danger that Jonathan and David meet for the final time. Verse 41 records, David came out from where he was hiding near the stone pile. And then David bowed to Jonathan. David bowed three times to Jonathan with his face to the ground. Both of them were in tears as they embraced each other and said goodbye, especially David. It's a moment of profound emotional connection. But more than that, this is a moment where the presence of God is tangible through the lives and the love of two friends. And we will often talk about how God meets us in prayer or in scripture, and rightly so. But never forget that God often will minister to us through people. A faithful friend in the time of trial is one of the clearest ways that we experience the love and the comfort and the encouragement of Christ. The Apostle Paul says in Galatians chapter 6, verse 2, "Bear one another's burdens, bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ." You know, God designed us not just to survive together, but to carry one another in the midst of our hardships. Have you ever experienced a time where God's grace helped you through, or was helped through a timely conversation or a prayer offered on your behalf? Or a friend who simply stood by you when everybody else walked away? That's not just human kindness. That's God's love flowing through a covenant relationship. Truth number 4, a call to covenant community. And as chapter 20 concludes, Jonathan says to David in verse 42, "Go in peace, for we have sworn friendship with each other in the name of the Lord, saying, 'The Lord is a witness between you and me, and between your descendants and my descendants forever.'" There's a quiet power in those words, "Go in peace." Jonathan recognizes that he cannot go with David, that their paths now have to diverge. But David doesn't go but alone. He carries with him the strength of that friendship with him. He carries the peace of a covenant made in love. That is the power of godly companionship. It gives us courage. It sends us out in peace. It shapes our souls and it sharpens our faith. And church, it's not just for David and Jonathan, but it's meant for all of us. As Methodists, we believe that grace is not an individual experience, that it's not my grace, but that God works in and through community, through us. That's why John Wesley gave so much attention to how people lived together, how they supported one another, and how they spurred one another on in love and in good deeds. And this type of community doesn't happen by accident. It takes intentionality. It takes vulnerability. It takes commitment. But it is definitely worth it. Because life is better when it's lived together. Because Christ and his people are richer, deeper, stronger than anything else that this world has to offer. So be a Jonathan and find a David. If you're feeling isolated, don't wait for community to come to you. Pursue spiritual friendships. Join a Sunday school class. Join a small group. Reach out. Be honest. Let somebody in. And if you're already walking with others, ask God how you can go deeper. Move from surface level interaction to covenantal connection. I'll never forget there was a pastor's group that I was a part of, and we would meet at a King's restaurant once a month, and we would talk and we would joke. And then we decided, you know, we need to stop this, and we need to move to a different place. So we started meeting at each other's churches, and we would rotate around to each other's churches, and we would pray for each other, and we would share the difficult things that we were dealing with. And our friendships grew exponentially. There's still the guys that I call, that I think about when I need help. Even though our group hasn't been together for many, many years, because a lot of them have moved away. And we still call, we still talk. And they still are those people that I know I can count on. These are my covenantal friends. And it happened because we left behind the jokey and decided to go deep. And lastly, I think above all, we need to reflect the faithfulness of God in our relationships. Right? It requires a choice on our part to be a Jonathan to someone else. And in a world that is where people are starved for real connection, God is calling us to be a people of covenant, a people who will walk with each other in truth and love, a people who will carry each other's burdens, people who reflect God's steadfast kindness in every relationship. And I believe that when we do, we will see what David saw, that even when life is hard, and even when the path is uncertain, that we will be able to go in peace, because we know that we will not be alone. Let us pray. Gracious God, thank you for those people that you place in our lives who reflect your love to us. Lord, whether it's a kind word, a hug in a time of need, or someone who simply sits and listens. Lord, thank you for those people who matter. And they show us how important they are, Lord, in the ways that they are with us. And so, God, we pray that we would strive towards those types of friendships. Give us an openness, a vulnerability, dear God, to make the choice to be in relationship with each other. Open our eyes, Lord, to those possibilities. In Jesus, it's in your name we pray. Amen.